We're going to look at John chapter 10. And you know, the marvel of our Lord is the way that He presents truth in terms that all of us can grasp. Now, He has some things that He's going to say to us, but often He puts it in parables and nice, homey thoughts and images that we can understand. Sometimes the meaning escapes us, and we think of what He's done in this 10th chapter of John's Gospel. Now, the author, maybe 60 years later than when Jesus gave this teaching, wrote about this. Very important we realize this, because part of that is in this chapter, talking about the coming Messiah. The written word, absolutely essential as the resource and basis of truth. And He starts off in this chapter, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber." Now the Lord Jesus wants to establish the truth of who He is. And to do that, He uses this wonderful parable of a sheepfold. And what does He do in this first parable? Because we have two here. There are two different parables, two different illustrations. And in the first illustration, His desire is to establish His credentials. His credentials. Now remember, our Lord Jesus was born at a time when the Jews already had their written revelation. They already had their scriptures. Now the Messiah would come in fulfillment of all the scriptures that are spoken of Him. We'll get to the second parable, but that's not the end of the story. For the Jew today, it is the end of the story. Those are the only scriptures. But as we know, and we're reading from it right here in front of us, there are other scriptures that were written, John being one of the authors. And so he backs up, and we think of this wonderful gospel, and we like this gospel so much because one commentator has called it the gospel of belief. And John gives us that near the end of his gospel. Why he wrote what he did, that we might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. But within this gospel, he now brings to our minds something that Jesus himself taught. Now we have to realize that our Lord Jesus, because he did this often in another gospel, in Luke's gospel, and Luke was a person who really liked detail. And he wanted to present a truth, and he wanted to present the story of Christ and his life accurately. I don't like when these authors are criticized by higher criticism as being kind of loony toonies. They weren't good historians. They were after some other motive. These were sincere men, honest men, who wrote down what they felt was the truth of God, of course being led of the Spirit of God. And in Luke's Gospel chapter 4, the Lord Jesus comes into a synagogue in Nazareth, and He reads, He opens the scrolls, He opens the scriptures, which were already authoritative, and gives out a wonderful passage in Isaiah 61. But I'll leave that. Let's leave that for a moment. He recognized the truth of Scripture. So he goes to this wonderful passage. I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. Jesus did not deny the importance of tradition. Didn't deny that. The importance of authority. The importance of the revealed, written word of truth. And so he says that the Messiah who comes will recognize what has already been given by God as authority. And he would follow, not change, but follow that authority. And one of the credentials of the Messiah would come from the Old Testament Scriptures. Look with me to Isaiah chapter 42. The Jews would accept this authority. Chapter 42 of Isaiah. Behold, verse 1. My servant whom I uphold, my elect one in whom my soul delights, I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the Gentiles. He will not cry out, nor raise his voice, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break. The smoking flax he will not quench. He will bring forth justice for truth. He will not fail nor be discouraged till he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlines shall wait for his law. The Lord Jesus did not come with a great deal of fanfare. He did not come riding a white charger. He came humbly. And one of the things that the Messiah would do when he came, he would be a teacher. He would teach. And you think of Matthew's gospel, especially the Sermon on the Mount. This sermon that the Lord Jesus gave in Matthew's Gospel 5 through 8 is in keeping with his credentials as the coming Messiah. It was essential that Jesus teach. It was what he wanted his people to understand about himself. He wasn't a thief and a robber trying to persuade people. He was following exactly the right protocol. He was doing the right thing. He would be known as a teacher, and this was revealed in the Scriptures. Then when he went into that synagogue and read from Isaiah 61, look at Isaiah 61. Verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, to comfort all who mourn. Now you'll notice, when he says that in the synagogue, in Nazareth, in Luke 4, quoting this passage, this day, this scripture is fulfilled in your presence. Not only would he be a teacher, but you've noticed that in the ministry of Christ, he did a great deal of healing. Why so much healing? the Messiah would heal the wounds. Literally, those who needed healing, but the wounds of his people. Now, what was going to be difficult for them to accept? When Jesus was in that synagogue, and he's teaching here in John 10, is that Messiah is none other than the person who was standing before them. But he was such a humble person. Remember last week we talked about it. He's a carpenter. And he has such wonderful teaching. We expected someone else. And so the Lord Jesus, he's not going to break the traditional tie. He's going to be a teacher. He's going to be a healer. And he did that. You know, in Israel's history, there were two great periods of miraculous events. In the days of Moses, many miraculous deeds. And in the days of Elijah and Elisha, many miraculous deeds. And to keep with that truth, God is going to speak through Moses and deliver his people from bondage. And God is going to speak through his prophets to deliver his people from error. But there's a third reason. And this is the most difficult for any of us today to accept. Well, we might go along with that, yes. But the third reason, the third criteria for the Messiah. Let's look in Isaiah chapter 53. And look at verses 10 to 12. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he will see his seed, and he shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many, and made transgression intercession for the transgressors. Not only would this one come by the right route, the right route, I should say, the right path. Not only was he the one who would be a teacher and a healer, and here's where everybody balks, but he would be the Savior. He would be the sin bearer. He would take away iniquities. He would save his people from their sins. And so he accepted that name at his birth. What are we going to call this baby who's come from God? Call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. Call this baby Joshua, the one who would deliver, the one who would save, the one who would give life. And so Jesus said, this Messiah, he enters by the proper door, which are his credentials. The doorkeeper, I know there's been, who's this doorkeeper? May I just suggest, the doorkeeper are his credentials, the witness of the scriptures, as healer, as savior, as teacher. Now what was important? He has come. God sent forth his son at the proper time. Jesus appears. Other messiahs had come and gone. They could not fulfill all that was needed to be fulfilled by the one who would be the true messiah. And now what? Look what happens. We'll go quickly to verse 7. Verse 6, when Jesus said this to his disciples, talked about this one who would be the true shepherd. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. They didn't grasp the reality of the Messiah coming right at that moment. Oh, yes. He would be coming. But he did come. He's in the synagogue. This scripture is fulfilled in your presence. What does... They didn't get it. They didn't grasp the importance of this one who has come. Because, I don't know how to put it in. He didn't look like a Messiah. Strange how oft times men look at the outward appearance. Someone read a scripture in our worship about that. Man looks at the outward appearance, God looks at the heart. They didn't see because they were foolish. His disciples, listening to him, the true Messiah has these credentials. We don't get it. Now the big thing is in the second parable. They could address this first parable and say, yes, the shepherd would come to gather his sheep in the city, in that sheepfold. What about this second parable now? There's an opening here. There's an opening of expression. It's not in that first credentials. We've got to find out the right shepherd. But this is what's he driving at here? Now look what happens. Most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. What? Wait a minute. What's he saying here? All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. What a statement to be made to these who are listening to him there in the synagogue. Someone brought up an argument years ago. Some critic. You know, Jesus didn't really know who he was. What? He was learning more about himself as he continued. What? He knew who he was. You know, we quote this wonderful passage when Jesus is in the upper room with his disciples. This needs to be quoted in our society today. Jesus said to them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Says to his disciples, the Messiah has credentials. And you know what? I am he. I am the door. Now some of you visit this little group of people here in this chapel and enjoy coming. I said this last week too. Glad to have you. But as I said last week, we need to say this week. But you must come to a definitive statement concerning who Jesus Christ really is. You can study about it. You may even think about this idea, though, that's wonderful, so he's the Messiah to the Jews. No! He's the Savior of the world. And when he says, I am the door, he wants you to understand that you can enter into God's presence, God's life, salvation through him. But only through him. I won't name the religious church. Several years ago, I turned on the radio, heard this sermon about Jesus being the door. And I thought, isn't this, that's lovely. I didn't expect that from this particular religious group. That's wonderful. Jesus. And then at the end, and if the door isn't open, you can always enter through Mary, who's a window. I beg your pardon? You can always, when you get that, you can always forget that. When Jesus presents himself as the Savior, and he does it because he followed the right protocol, and he was obedient to his Father's command, and when he says here in this second parable, I am the door. Listen. Don't turn aside. Don't think you have a way of your own, and so many of us do this. You may come here and say, I like to come here. Oh, yeah, well, Jesus is the door. Well, that's wonderful. But I beg to differ. I like to think that I can really do something for myself. Oh, it's nice there. Sir, that you're talking about that, but I'm listening. Don't be like his disciples in verse 6. You don't understand. And when this one, this Savior, this teacher, this one who does miraculous deeds, don't think he's saying this so that you can just think your way through your own life and find your own conclusions. He's directing his attention, your attention, toward him. He's being as serious as he can concerning your life and your destiny. This isn't a Bible study. This isn't just searching the scriptures. This is bringing to you the possibility of a new life. An eternal life. An endless life with God Almighty, who's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. A new way of opening your whole being that he might fill it with the fullness of who he is. I am the door. Now, if we can accept that, if you can accept that, if you can realize, well, I'm not worthy. That's a good point. You're not worthy. None of us are. And I don't always do that which is right. That's good. What are you talking about? That's good. Confess before God that you're a sinner. Here's the Savior. He offers to you life eternal. He is the way. He is the truth. You'll never get to the Father. I didn't know that was what the meaning of life was. Getting to the Father. I don't know. I thought it was having fun, enjoying things, have a lovely time in the beauty of life, drink a lot of beer. I don't know what life was all about. But that's not the meaning of life. We have to come face to face with this wonderful claim of the Lord Jesus. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. You know, life may be strangling you. Life may be difficult. And maybe you wake up each day and you say, I can't take it anymore. I'm afraid of what's happening to our world. I'm afraid that we're going to run out of life itself. Ice is melting. This green effect on our lives is going to destroy us. Society is caving in. Our financial institutions are dipping down. Our educational system is in disarray. We're losing our forests. Animals are dying. It doesn't make any sense. I am the door. By me, if any man enters in. Notice what he says. He will go in and out and find pasture. It's only the beginning. It's a beginning. It's a wonderful beginning. And you'll be free. Oh, we're bothered. I didn't say that you would not continue to live here. But this isn't the end. This isn't the only place you will ever be. Now, when you enter in to relationship with Almighty God, you're free to explore the depths of who He is and to enjoy the benefits of what He gives. There's no ending. It's all creative. It's all positive. All right, we're still in this life. I understand that. But there's an ending. There's a joy. There's a relationship that is so satisfying that you can actually sleep peacefully at night. What? What are you talking about? The thief, the robber, takes advantage of us. Leaders will take advantage of us. People take advantage of us. People put us down. People laugh at us. People shame us. God exalts us. Not because we deserve it, but because He loves us. And that's why the Lord Jesus came into this world, to seek and to save that which is lost. And we're lost. We're without hope. Now, I'm not building a straw man to tear it down. This is the truth of life. Or you're making us so bad and everything because you want to... I have no agenda. Believe me. We need this Savior. We need this Lord Jesus. We need that door into His life. But are you willing to go through that door? Well, I don't know. Yeah, okay, I'll admit to you, as someone admitted to us recently who was struggling, I admit to you, I'm a sinner. But I can't take a next step yet. That was very much for me to make that admission. I don't want to go any further. Wait a minute. That's a wonderful beginning. Do you mean a sinner can go through? Yes! Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Do you know what it means to be at rest in yourself? All the turmoil, all the anxiety, all the guilt. Already paid for. What? You don't have to struggle to try to please him. That's why Jesus came. That's what he's talking about. He's the one that will care for us. He's the one that will defeat our enemies and defeat sin. He's the one who is willing to take upon himself all of your illness, all of your weakness, all of your vanity, all of your sin. Oh. Well, what will happen to me if I embrace this Savior? What will happen to me? Well, he says it here. You'll be saved. Oh, that word. What do you mean I'll be saved? And for the first time in your life, you won't be bound by sin, bound by this life. You'll be open to go in and out and find pasture in God's world, in God's heaven, in eternity with Him. One other thought. Look at verse 11. I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd gives his life for his sheep. Now it's hard for us to find even good people or even to be a good person. But here we have a shepherd who knows what you feel. He knows of your loneliness. He cares about you as a person. Let's say you're overweight. Your self-image is so bad it's sickening. And the only way you seem to get any enjoyment is through your mouth. Eat. You put on weight, you eat. It's a vicious circle. Life is meaningless. Ah, well, let's say you're an athlete and you have a beautiful body and you know how to eat, you know how to exercise, and all of life is consumed in making yourself beautiful. Then you realize that that beauty won't last. And it brings up the strangest feeling of sadness into your life. You want to remain beautiful. You don't want to remain the fat person. Oh, you can't use that word. The person who's overweight. And all these issues come into your life. And here's the Messiah who's come with the right credentials, the Savior of the world, and he offers to you eternal salvation, not based on what you look like or what you feel, but on what he's done. And when you accept that salvation through his precious blood that he shed on the cross for you, your world changes. I don't know how to put this, maybe this is the wrong thing, but the way you look at yourself will change. And you'll be able to go in and out and find pasture in the glory of God himself. I'm thankful that Jesus came with the right credentials, and I'm thankful that he said, he alone is the door. Will you trust him today? Will you turn to Christ? Will you make him your Savior? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, it is so great that we have a Savior who loves us. And we're thankful that he is offering to us an eternal salvation based not on ourselves, or what we could do, or what we could accomplish, but based on his finished work at the cross. We thank you, he's the true, good shepherd, the right shepherd, and that he is the door. Father, may someone today respond to your love, trust in your Son, and walk through that door, we ask, in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.